This is Cy Tu, who's here with Kitty Rutenberg, National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section Oral History Project, October 23rd, 1985, at the Atrium Apartment.
Well, it's running now.
Yeah.
All right, the only thing my relative...
Elaine Rosen is the interviewer, and Andy Weiss is taking notes.
And I am the interviewer. The only thing they ended, but I don't really agree with any kind of ending, mm-hmm. but were surprised about was that we had a car so soon after we arrived. And we had a car, and I started to drive at the age of 16. Well, that's unheard of in our circle back there. We were still in the 20s. I don't know how else to answer.
Well, we can go now into your relationship with Harold.
Did you keep up with the circle when you said that would have been absurd with your driving? Did you keep up with the circle? I mean, did you follow your circle friends through the... No, back there. Could you? Were you able...
I kept up the correspondence with one of my classmates, and that's how I knew, and my cousin, whom in the end we did bring over.
Yes.
But this was not in the 20s. And
this
even
was
in the 30s. Now I'm switching back and forth.
Yes.
In the 30s, when we here in America, and we were old-timers by then.
Yes.
And we were politically astute, so we thought. And we saw the darkened clouds in Europe and all that sort of thing. And my cousin, who was asked if she were my sister, was graduating from medical school. We urged her to come here, first as a tourist. Yes, we had ideas even then, that's nothing new, that you can change your status to something else later. We started wheeling and reeling in how to help people come over here.
Yeah.
So our first project would have been my cousin. But she didn't want to come, and her parents wouldn't allow her to come. Imagine someone being 22 years old.
I can imagine.
In that culture, the parents wouldn't allow her to come.
Yeah.
Not even to attend the New York World's Fair in 1938. Because what if she decided to stay?
Mm-hmm. What eventually happened?
Because everything was just right. She was the belle of the ball there, and our life was rather gray and uninteresting.
And she married over there?
Yes, but that was not till 42 or 43, the worst of times.
Did they perish in the war?
No, not my cousin and her husband. But we finally succeeded in bringing her and him over in 1948.
Mm-hmm. So they were able to escape?
Yeah, but the parents, of course, had lost.
How did she maneuver herself out of the danger if her parents were taken somehow?
Well, everybody had to be ingenious.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were practicing all sorts of cloak and dagger things, or I don't know how to describe it, but as a doctor, first she had to wear the yellow star and all that. They were assigned to certain houses. But as a doctor, she would get out of line because we're on a march towards Vienna, for instance, or towards camp collection center or something on its way. She would get out of the line and start administering
help
to somebody else who had fallen beside.
Was her husband a doctor too?
No. He was a chemist. Anyway, she managed to the war, and always returning from whatever collection center they were sent to. And she worked for the Red Cross as a doctor and managed.
Is she still alive?
Yes. They were very successful in Chicago. Gold coasters.
Uh-huh. That's how the end is. And your girlfriend, the girl?
In the 5 times that I returned, spent as a visitor, tourist in Budapest, I never had the courage So is it your emotional strength to look up to anybody else? I was hoping that for the 50th high school reunion, which is a very common practice in Europe, to get together for a 50th high school reunion. I was hoping that if I were notified, that I would be notified, and that I would attend that no matter when or how. Mm-hmm. But in the 5 times that I spent a few days or a week at a time as a tourist, I don't know how to balance the account here, but the fact is that I never did look up anyone. I was afraid that I'd get so emotionally mm-hmm. upset. Here I am, as well as I am, as well off as I am,
yes.
and whomever I would meet would be a story that I couldn't get over one way or the other. I would lower myself to such a depth of depression that I couldn't cope with, and I couldn't really help anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
History had a way of writing itself in such a way that if I were the fortunate one, if by avoiding all this years before it happened, then and having done my share in participating in the rescue efforts on another level
mm-hmm.
and with other people who were close to me, I did not feel that it would serve a useful purpose. And I hope I don't sound selfish to start strutting around or acting up or showing off. I didn't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
After 50 years, one more.
Is your language?
I did look up in the telephone for a couple of names, and they were still there, but I didn't call them. Now, Harold, who is a Yankee from way back, I mean, born Yankee.
He was born here in this country?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh?
No.
Minnesota.
He was born with blonde hair, and he was kind of a little sweet, so it's Minnesota. Anyway, he didn't have the emotional baggage I had. For him, it would not have been a problem. For me to look up somebody. But I had no living relatives, so what for? We did have close contacts, and these are the immediate relatives of my cousin, who, you might say, were newly found and new connections.
Mm-hmm.
A very famous composer, and to whom we had wonderful times together, but that was a whole different ballgame.
What's your language? Did you remember language when you went back? Did it come back to you? Or?
Well, a certain amount of, you mean Hungarian?
Yes, yeah, Hungarian.
A certain amount of Hungarian was practiced at home. Life here. And I kept up a correspondence, as I said, and so my written and quote literary Hungarian didn't suffer too much, but of course it never developed. When my husband Harold asked my mother, "What kind of Hungarian does she speak?"
Uh-huh.
My mother said to him, "Well, the kind of a Hungarian that a 13-year-old can speak."
Yes. Yes. Because.
However, when we started to go to Israel in 1954, and having all those Hungarian relatives there,
mm-hmm.
most of whom I had met as a child when I went to a wedding,
mm-hmm.
one of those cousins, to Romania. And I was a father, so how could I not speak him? But anyway, the lingua franca was Hungarian, although Hebrew was, of course, the language of the country. And nearly everybody speaks English as a second language. But I got back into practice. That's how I kept it.
Mm-hmm. So when you came to go to college here, mm-hmm. did you have any idea of a career or studying something in particular? Or
yes, but the notions of advanced degrees being so essential for any pursuance of a career or a profession. We're not that established at that time. Let me tell you that to be a social worker, you didn't have to be a master of social work.
Yeah,
right. There was a social work track.
Mm-hmm.
I think nearly all my girlfriends went into social work.
Or
and that was the beginning of all the legislation, legislation that suddenly needed everyone.
Mm-hmm.
A career or a profession I had in mind, but only as wherever I would be employable, being more or less educated. And it didn't have to be a particular one of the liberal professions like law or something.
And you met Harold, and how soon after did you get married? How long did you date? How did you get along
with
him?
I graduated in 36, and we were married in 36.
Was there any opposition, or were there any problems with his family?
Yes. I think you know all the answers.
No,
that's
don't.
Why you're asking
no.
all the good questions.
Honest to God,
you're
don't.
Wonderful. Anyway.
This just came to me just now.
By my in-laws, I wasn't considered Jewish enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or possibly not even Jewish. How can you be Jewish and not be in some kind of business? Or if you have a profession, why aren't you a lawyer or a doctor? An engineer? That's a suspect. All right? To live in Wilkinsburg, I mean, that's outside of any reasonable limit. But the only way we could try as a family to convince my in-laws to be that I was Jewish. For as long back as one can trace. I was quoting wherever possible my Jewish relatives in New York, who carried the name that my father changed from to a Hungarian sounding name. Mannheim
was the original name?
That's right.
And your father changed it to what?
Monori. M-O-N-O-R-I, which is very sort of
sound-Italian,
but that's right, but it was Hungarian. And that was, the change of name was effectuated simply because the three brothers, my father and two brothers, who were going to the university, not all at the same time, but within 7 or 8 years apart, or together, rather, in the span of 7 or 8 years. And in that decade of the 19th century, it was a patriotic thing to do. Not to avoid necessarily to be considered Jewish. That was not the motivation. It was that everybody in Slovak or Slovenian or whatever else kind of ethnic
mm-hmm.
groups were in the old empire. To be Hungarian was to have a Hungarian name. Nothing really mattered, but when you have it in Israel today, people change their names.
Thank you, Grant.
All right. So we finally did convince our in-laws that there was authentic.
So then it was to the
family. Line of Jewishness down there.
Mm-hmm. They'd be very proud to know their grandson is a rabbi, wouldn't they?
Anyway, Harold and I both started to practice or observe some or many of the rituals or rites of Judaism. Not much earlier, not at all earlier, only at the time the children started to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
In that regard, we weren't so different from a lot of other Jews. And everything I say to you now, especially about the Jewish question, you should put into context at the kind of time
mm-hmm.
in this country. After all, the sudden explosion of congregations and new groupings and so on within Jewry began only after Hitler.
And the flight to the suburbs.
Yes, well, that came even later. So unless you had a very conventional and or orthodox background, and because of the slightly anti-Semitic atmosphere around you, if you were in certain lines of work, mm-hmm. like being an engineer, that's it. Mm-hmm. You didn't make such a big thing out of mm-hmm. being Jewish, that's all.
That's right. My mother had no Jewish education.
Mm-hmm. My Jewish education stopped when I was 13, mm-hmm. and it started again when my children started to live.
Where did you affiliate? With Rosh Hashanah?
No, Temple Sana
was a break-off from Rosh Hashanah.
Either a daughter or a sister mm-hmm. congregation, yeah. You can say either one.
After the war, when did
that
start?
That was a determined effort on the part of...
40 years.
In 1946.
Of course,
it was official.
And what was the effort? What was the
determined
effort to do what?
To bring into the fold all the non-affiliated. Mm-hmm. Or people who were breaking up from Orthodox, of which there were many.
In a congregation that was not as socially minded,
Germanic.
It was more, and was not as Germanic, that's really
mm-hmm.
true. It was done, poor people could join and were welcomed, and I'm sure that's why my family joined, because it was reasonable and welcomed, and it was a warm, open congregation. They wanted.
Yeah.
Would you say that? As she knows
yeah.
more than I do, because we joined.
You
felt that there was a place for you there,
mm-hmm.
whether no matter what your roots.
Yeah. I think there were a multiple. There was a multiple of reasons.
Yeah.
Where did you live at this time when your children were young? Were you in the house?
Well, actually, they started in Port Chester, Ohio, because that's when they were old enough to. Started a religious school, and that's where we lived for 2 years.
Oh, and that was you moved to Ohio.
That was our first venture in
mm-hmm.
corporate.
Was Harold working for himself, or working for somebody else?
He was then the vice president of the corporate vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That was his first step away from engineering.
Okay, so then you came back to Pittsburgh.
Came back to Pittsburgh, and here to stay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't gotten into it.
No, the tape is pretty good. I have a question. Oh, yes. Now, how did you get into your art collecting? Because that's such a major part of your life. When did
that
develop?
I would say, was at the back of our being. It was not an intellectual exercise. It was just there to do with or to attend what, whenever the occasion arose, even before we had a nickel to spend on art.
Mm-hmm.
It came from my side, it came from Harold's side, and when we felt we were well off enough to buy in a substantial way,
mm-hmm.
we made some pretty big steps. Before that, we would have bought our graphics like anyone else. And, enjoyed it, or several other items that he would pick up. In the 50s, when we began to travel, we would, of course, like everyone else, would buy the most significant thing to remember this particular
yeah.
museum
yeah.
box.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they gave way to original work, and there was always that constant effort to upgrade.
So you've become friendly with many of these world-famous artists through your collecting and attending shows.
Yes, that was one major aspect of our whole art experience.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a,
give it
a personal,
personal,
that's right, and an exciting side to it. It wasn't just a matter of buying this or that.
And you've made an attempt to stick with Jewish artists or Israel at first?
Well, we knew enough about our own resources, even if we were spending capital on our own income, that this was not the time, or no longer the time, to try to compete with others who have made fine collections of impressionist photographs. So the prices had already gone in that direction. We were on that level that there was no point in acting as if we could, when we couldn't. And our first visit in 1954 in Israel, as well as our deepening and developing interest in things Jewish, not only religiously, but in every way, really political, various other categories, mentioned. That if we did anything in art, it should be narrowed down to a manageable level. And in fact, if we were to not concentrate on Jewish art, it would be something else. That too should have been, in our view, a narrowing down, a focusing down to a certain trend or tendency or country or culture or century or whatever else you might think of. So while others were out for Japanese prints and Guatemalan pottery and something else, we knew where our interest would lead to.
Mm-hmm. Maybe priorities?
Yes.
I think it would be interesting at this point to list some of the artists that you have personally become friendly with.
Well, there are nearly all of the ones we concentrate on. And at one time or another, we were friendlier than other times, but that's all natural.
Depending whether or not the thing was light to your...
Let me try alphabetically. Adam Ardon, Bezem, I should look around. Bergner,
Castel,
Fema, that's all we have here of Jewish. Then the others down the list in the alphabet.
Yeah, Chagall. Well, you didn't know him, did you?
We met him, strangely. Mm-hmm. We met him, and he also did a favor for us through Chaim Gross. After we had met him in Jerusalem, when he came to look at the windows after they were installed, and we met him through Teddy Kollek and Chaim Gross, who were both there having lunch in a East Jerusalem restaurant. So I was put the time of this about 68 or 69.
Yeah,
that'd be after the war. Mm-hmm. Well, in any case, Chagall signed a poster for us through Chaim Gross's intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine how much more we treasure it for the signature,
yeah,
as well as the story behind it. Well, it's only a poster.
Yeah.
The others, in Pittsburgh, we met and got to know the Rosenbergs very well, personally or privately through the Pickle Girls. Anyway, we started buying him by his works of art.
Mm-hmm.
He was very kind and generous in that he gave us even a couple of drawings, background studies for the addiction.
Did you ever meet Ben Shahn?
Yes, he was an early WPA
artist.
And when he was, letters don't mean anything to
What, WPA?
Yes.
They sure do, work project
administration. Very good, your class is this. When we were in the union, he used to come and illustrate some of our little brochures and posters and flyers that were made by the thousands.
Oh,
in our in the unionization process. Now, who would have ever believed or fantasized about his eventually becoming one of the greats in American art. And we didn't keep any of his works. And Harold was the one closest to him, because he was passing in all the wording and the text of all these things. Anyway, decades later, when we were concerned about finding in our archives something from that period so that we could say we knew him when,
yeah,
we didn't find anything, and then there was an unhappy situation where we did find something and we wanted his widow, he had died, I think, at that time,
mm-hmm,
his widow to authenticate that piece of work, drawing and scribbling, which was for one of our publications, because we were two of us. And through, what was her name, Edith Halpern or something like that, the dealer, the gallery who handled Sean, claimed after several weeks that the widow misplaced it, or that she's still working on it. You know, that there was a gradual passage of time into months, into a year or two, and there was no result. We never got the piece back.
This
is the most important thing, that if I ever write a book on all the things that can go wrong or unhappily for you in a personal way, incidents and, you know, you and I know so much about. This Sean incident would be the most tragic.
So I guess you don't send an original, you don't let it out of your hands. Is that the lesson? Is that the moral
lesson
of the story?
Just, you must know with whom you're dealing. Don't take anything for granted.
This interest in art now spur you on to, what was the motivation for your apartment in Israel?
We should get back to, I don't know anything about the union.
Well, that's her husband.
12 years.
He started being
active in the old pre-CIO union, the craft union, amalgamated little steel workers, something rather, and these individual little locals all along the middle towns. He did research work for a Professor Daugherty. That was freelancing work in economics, whatever it was, and got full credit for. And he allied himself with one of these local unions in 1934. They had their convention. There was some talk of unionizing the whole industry on an industrial basis. Everybody in a particular plant would be members of that one union, All right. So, and he was the only one with a typewriter and who knew English well enough and who knew economics well enough to be of any use to that particular union. So they allowed him to be around for everything that happened. And he was really doing research for Professor Daugherty. He also learned a great deal about the labor movement to be. And so when the CIO was about to begin its big membership drive, and focused especially on the Pittsburgh area, he was at the right place,
at the right time,
at the right time, and knew the most about, and had the education. He got his degree in 35, but that's another story. He immediately became a research director. I love that.
They're going to interview him in this project.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
They are, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're
that's
gonna,
all right.
But
it's
a blank. Yeah. But you were always socially, you said already that you were socially aware and politically aware, and so that this was something that would be natural for him to follow.
That's right. Motivation. For him, it was clear cut. And you asked about who my motivation was.
I asked you about your apartment in Israel. What prompted you to, and when did you?
Well, from 54 till about 68, and we had made repeated trips, sometimes two a year.
Mm-hmm. For what purpose? The family, or?
The family was there, that was a given. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to elaborate on that.
Yeah.
But very shortly after 54, Harold, who was already in business, that was his first product, first company of his own. The Keystone Grill Company. There had been contact in Jordan and some other places of the company before he took it over.
Keystone what company?
Keystone Drilling Company.
Drilling.
A driller company. Water well driller.
Oh.
So he thought this was something.